to Charmed Life, a radio show discussing spirituality, magic, and the unconditional love of the universe. Thanks for tuning in.
And I am your host, Trisha Carr. I'm laughing already because my friend David Gandelman is here. And all he does is he just is sarcastic all the time, which is why we're friends.
I don't know. All right, fine. Maybe I'm sarcastic. All right, I'm sarcastic.
Sure. Welcome to this episode. I'm really, really excited to have David on because he's been on this show only once. He's been on the other podcast that I have, Enlightened AF, a couple of times. But he hasn't been able to come on Charmed Life again because he teaches on Sundays. How dare you?
I know, right?
So we have a special episode. We may never have another one again with David Gandelman, intuitive, spiritual teacher. And what other things are you?
Coach.
We have so much fun. Basically, we do the same thing, only with some different leans, because David makes fun of me because of my interest in angels and other things.
I love angels. I just need something to make fun of you for.
It's slim pickings because I'm pretty perfect, right?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, actually, before we dig into this, I think we came up with a really interesting topic. I'm very excited to talk about it. And but I want to tell you guys that it is very soon to the very beginning of the 2019 Mediumship Intensive. David tried to join, but I wouldn't let him. The Mediumship Intensive is a 6-week comprehensive program taught by myself and Crystal Ann Compton. We're actually starting we're starting tomorrow. So if you're listening today or tomorrow, perhaps we'll leave the registration open just like a couple of days into the actual program, September 9th, 2019. Go register now. The link to register is right in the description. This program is for all levels of development for you to either open or expand your mediumship abilities. It's multidimensional mediumship, so not just the dead people, but the dead people, that's a beautiful ministry. I'm sure you have a lot of mediumship that comes through with your work, but also other individuals in the non-physical realm, so like angels and interdimensional beings. So come and join Crystal and me. It's going to be powerful. All right, enough of that. Now, David Gandelman, welcome. We wanted to talk today about whether psychic predictions are real, and spoiler alert, they are.
Well, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll see you on the next episode where we'll answer another question.
But the thing is, I think we have a really well-rounded perspective, probably each of us, because we're both experienced. They are, and to some degree, they aren't helpful because they could be, in certain perspectives, not helpful because we are always creating our reality, so nothing is set in stone, nothing is linear, nothing is predestined, but it happens a lot with psychics, right? Whether it's in our professional practice or just in our life.
Yeah, it could happen in dreams. We could see things in meditation. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, like the work that me and you do when we work with clients, sometimes we see images that end up coming true. Mm-hmm. And I always tell my students this because there was a point in my life where I was like a vending machine. Like, you put a quarter in David, you're like, give me an answer. No, when's my relationship going to work out? What's my career going to look like? Mm-hmm. What's my creative project going to, when is it going to open up? Whatever it is. When is money going to rain down from the sky? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, pay me $25,000 and I will clear everything and tell you. And right, people get taken all the time for that because they want answers so bad.
Mm-hmm. They want to be rescued from the moment, which is why they're actually asking for future.
And so what I always try to tell my students when I'm teaching classes is that it's not just about getting the answer. Because say, for example, somebody's on step like 2 of 10 of their growth process, their energetic unfoldment, and they're like, I want to know when I'm getting my partner. Mm-hmm. And they're on step 2 of 10. For them, that means like healing a past trauma, mm-hmm. or like finding out who they are so they could be in a relationship.
Valuing themselves.
That mm-hmm. meets them, valuing themselves. And what they're doing is they're coming and saying, I want to get around all of that.
Right.
Just tell me, does he have brown hair or blue eyes, or what does he or she look like? And when will I meet them? And when is our baby coming? And in my experience, I'm just talking from my experience. There are moments when someone's at like step 9 out of 10, mm-hmm. and they come to you and like the stars have aligned and you're like, you know what? I do see this. Mm-hmm. And then that does come true. Now, some people say, oh, you're programming them. And there is part of being.
It's like a little motivation, a little encouragement. That makes sense that we could get that at the finish line.
To validate,
you know what I mean?
It's
that's valid. It's a valid validation.
But the person has to be. It's the job of the healer to mm-hmm. be very, very conscious and clear and recognize when somebody's able to have communication and what is appropriate and what isn't. And that's something, unfortunately, I think a lot in the healing arts that gets overlooked because mm-hmm. somebody goes and then gets a weekend Reiki. Or whatever, you know, training certificate that they get, but they never really learn the ethics and the art of recognizing what's appropriate to say and what's not. And in my training, we would often look at, this is part of the training, you have to look at how programmable somebody is. Mm. So if somebody is so programmable that they'll just believe anything that you say, then you have to tell them very little that's very specific because you're going to program them into that behavior. When somebody's really living in their truth and they sit down with you for healing, then you're just validating what they already know inside of them and helping them pull it out. I think that's a healthy way to look at it. And yes, we always have free will to change the future. There's no doubt about it.
And sometimes I've noticed that if you get timeline stuff, that sometimes it's motivating, but sometimes it could be demotivating. I guess like if you say if they're on step two or something, then they're like, oh, great. So it's going to just happen in March. Yeah, so I don't even have to put out a resume.
Cocktail over here.
Yeah.
I'm just going to wait till what David said was going to happen.
Right.
Happens.
And then that person's going to come to you and say, wait, it didn't happen in March. And so, you know, you're a bad psychic.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you needed to create it still. I've actually personally in my own life, for being able to understand the energy forecast is really can be helpful to me to know to like again validate how I use my energy. And for me things like astrology or numerology can help me with that, because it's like, okay, it's very vague, you know what I mean? Like in this month or this time period, this is the energy that is well supported, just like the weather, you know, like the energetic weather. And so that would be a good time to plan to build my business or to execute, you know, launch my business or whatever.
There's a psychic hurricane coming. Duck! Put on your tin hat quick. If you're listening to Trisha's podcast, you probably have a tin hat. If you listen to mine, you got two tin hats.
So you have two podcasts. We should mention those right now. We have Grounded Sleep with That's David right. Gandelman. I like that it says Sleep with David Gandelman right there in
That's
the title.
Right. If you want to sleep with me, it's free.
But it's really awesome. It's a sleep podcast. And I was telling someone about it, and they're like, wait, is it a podcast about subjects of sleep, or is it to put you to sleep?
It's straight up to put you to sleep. Yeah, I have nothing of intellectual value to add to the world. It's really just I say things and then
you fall asleep.
You get bored and fall asleep. My job is done.
He's just telling you about his day.
So I went to the post office at noon. Man, the line sucked. I didn't see that coming. Why don't you see that coming, David?
And then the other one is Energy Matters with your co-host.
Cody, which you're going to be on very soon.
And Cody was on Charmed Life just about a month ago, I think it was. So definitely go find my episode with Cody.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a really good one. And then also Energy Matters, amazing
Cody
podcast.
Has a lot of wisdom, so thank God one of us does. Yeah. But just getting back to predicting the future, I think it's seeing the future is a very small part.
Very small.
Of the energetic work that we do. And people overemphasize it the way they overemphasize talking to dead people. It means that's what a medium is or a psychic. And that's just like pop culture, you know, and a lot of people do profit off of it, right? Like every psychic on the street corner with a crystal ball in the window charging crazy amounts of money for like 5 minutes of their time. That's all they do is pop out answers about the future. And that's really unfortunate. It kind of ruins the entire vibe for the rest of us. Because really, thanks. If you own a psychic shop on a corner with a crystal ball, you're fucking up the vibe. Can I say that? I'm sorry. You're messing with the
you
vibe for the rest of us. I already said it, didn't I?
Kurt, be sure to mark this one explicit.
It's better to ask for an apology, right?
No, right. But that's true. It is. But I don't. I think maybe because I do have, you know, media out there like the podcasts and stuff. So fortunately, we have the benefit of being able to exhibit the work that we do before people actually work with us. So I don't get a ton of psychic prediction requests because people are actually, my clients tend to be people who want to do the work. You know what I mean?
And yeah, they kind of get it.
I get a lot of people who want to connect with angels, which.
I think that's cool.
Yeah, it is.
No, I think that's great. But when I teach my classes, so I teach a class at this place called The Den Meditation Studio in LA, and I teach a beginner class called Psychic, mm-hmm. which is an interesting title. And so half the groups, literally, they got class pass, and they're like in there day one meditating. First time ever meditating for some of them. And amazing. I'm like, you walked into a class called Psychic. So I'm finding I have to kind of re-explain at a very beginner level over and over, like, what this work is. And it helps me see what it is.
Well, yeah, even because we can always do the beginning steps over. That's what's kind of really cool about
the
doing
deepest stuff is the simplest.
Exactly.
And so the way I always describe it is we have two eyes to see the outer world and mm-hmm. one to see the inner world. And that eye, we might call it the third eye or the sixth chakra, the mind's eye. I don't care if you call it your brain's crystal ball, whatever you want to call it, that eye can see energy, mm-hmm. right? It can see energy. And so when you close your eyes to meditate, instead of trying to find your answers by being intellectual, mm-hmm. right? Trying to analyze the world to get your answer or feel into the world. We often try to feel into our answers. There's another way to derive your answers. There's another way to start to see what's true for you.
But I think that the feeling works with the clairvoyance too.
I mean in terms of like just emotion for people
where
they're just like, my answer is how I feel.
Totally.
And that's different. Than
it's different because
reading
if
energy through feeling.
Right. If you aren't in the intuitive energy yet, then the feeling sense is going to be the physical energy. And then that's
it gets
like
very mixed
that's,
up.
It's like the intellectual, it's like the already created stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like intuitive eating. It's mm-hmm. like if you come to intuitive eating and you're like, oh, I'm going to do intuitive eating. I had ice cream today, cookies.
You're like, I really feel like eating a Twinkie. Yeah. So that must be my intuition.
So if you do intuitive feeling and you start there, you could be in a lot of trouble because you're just feeling what you want, right? Yeah. Versus what's really true. And so that's why in the beginning stages when I train people, I have them focus much more on seeing and knowing and sensing versus feeling and healing that feeling space. Because a lot of people carry so much pain mm-hmm. in their feeling space. And so the beginning stages of learning to be intuitive and see the future.
And maybe sensing is a better word because sensing has the tendency to be a deeper, I mean, the connotation of it. You say sensing, you're probably not thinking about the base visceral, if physical oriented emotions, which again, there aren't that many words. So emotions are great. Emotions are messengers. Emotions are important. So we're not just talking crap about them.
But emotions will color what you experience in an intuitive way and not let you be very neutral. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of people in the intuitive arts and healing arts, when you get into it at the beginning stages, there's a lot of healing that needs to be done.
Yeah.
Because when you go into your feeling space, there tends to be pain mm-hmm. and energy that we carry from other people, from the past. And so it's hard to find our answers. So we look into our heads for our answers. And what do we find? Noise. Just it's
static
psychic weather, right? There's just a swirl of noise and energy. We look into our bodies to find our answers, and what do we find? Emotional
gas.
Pain.
Oh, sorry.
Gas. Bloating. The bloating of the expectations of the world. You're bloating from other people's expectations and judgments, right? And so we look at these two places to find our answers, and we find a lot of noise and energy. And so in the beginning, we tend to have to sit and meditate a lot and clear out all that energy. So it's almost like the windshield gets clear so we can start to see out. And then when we see out, it's like headlights, right? Like maybe you only see 10 feet in front of you, but you can drive all the way from LA to New York seeing 10 feet in front of you as long as your headlights are on. Mm-hmm. So it's not about predicting the future 20 years out. It's about always being able to see your next step. Because what I found after working with, a gazillion people is that life will only show you what it wants to show you. You cannot force an answer out of life. Like you can't say, tell me what the hell is going to happen in five years. There's this deep mystery. I don't understand how it works. I would never pretend to. That life just shows us things when we're ready. And I think it's very much a reflection of our own growth. And so if we can be cool with that and really work on ourselves, the next step will always be revealed. And if you're sitting around super stuck and frustrated at life, that's your next step, buddy. You got to work with resistance.
To be able to call in your ability to become unstuck. I mean,
And a lot of people they're in so much resistance that mm-hmm. they're in resistance to acknowledging that their next step is working on resistance. Mm-hmm. They want to do the run around. They want to mm-hmm. get around it to the sexy stuff.
And yeah. That actually, speaking of the sexy stuff, is that sometimes people...
Oh, yeah, let's talk about sexy stuff, sure.
is that I think sometimes there's this sort of covetous interest for people that are at the, you know, in entry stages of psychic and intuitive arts and stuff, and they think that opening your third eye is somehow going to rescue them. And when, you know what I mean? Like, if they could see a bunch of cool stuff, then they don't have to worry about paying rent because they'll, you know what I mean? Like, there's something oh, yeah. about that. But really, what, instead of opening your third eye, we'd probably, if we're looking at the chakra system, work on the root chakra first. That's actually
a lot of people need yeah. to ground.
Yes, right.
That's for damn sure. And mm-hmm. a lot of people have their crown chakra stuck up their root chakra.
Oh, no.
David, what do you do for a living? I help people pull their head out of their root chakra.
It's a bad, bad pun. That is like... That is both dorky
and spiritually bad.
You're a spiritual dork.
I know. And so, you know, as like you were saying before we started, like you've had, and maybe even on the show, you've had so many experiences that they happen so often that yeah. you barely even think about
them. I don't think about them. It's honestly, it kind of feels like when you are really attuned to more subtle energy as we are, and that's not like bragging or anything. It's just what you do when you do sit and meditate for 1,000 hours, whatever it is, clear out a lot of the static. And then it's a lot of the time the telepathy and the telepathy and the things that are happening. I don't say it anymore. When I could say to my husband most of the times, I knew you were going to say that. But it just is annoying.
That's
I wouldn't say that.
Brian always says the same thing. Like, where is my sandwich, Trisha? Just kidding. Brian, I love you, buddy. I'm kidding. Thank you for everything.
No, but it is. Like, you're always kind of, that I think psychics and intuitives are feeling the more subtle energies. And so it's almost yeah. like getting a scent of it, getting a whiff of it.
Yeah.
And it's always just kind of present in the day-to-day life.
The more you pay attention, mm-hmm. and the sharper it gets as
well. But it doesn't really matter because it isn't here until it's here. Actually, this brings me to another very interesting, I think, challenge for people who are, whether they are by profession and specific practice psychic, or people that are kind of psychic and maybe still even have some of that noise, you know what I mean? Is that we get a feeling or a glimpse of the future, of the potential, like this high potential. And then I think we have a greater challenge to stay present because we feel it, but we feel very frustrated because And so, but it's kind of beautiful too. It's like we really have given ourselves that challenge to become even more present because we really feel that potential. And that could be also in other people, like the people that you love, you see their potential. And you see where they're going to be, but they're still torturing themselves, and it's very difficult.
I see his potential, but he just keeps playing video games.
That's what I'm perceiving right now. If only his third eye would open so that he could stop playing video games.
One of the most common mm-hmm. things I personally have mm-hmm. come across as a teacher, for what I don't know why, is like women leaving their men because they're not growing. Like, I've seen that happen.
Because their men aren't growing?
Yeah. Mm. Just stuck, not communicating well. I've seen it so many freaking times. Mm. The other thing I wanted to mention, kind of on what you were saying, was that, we can... This is what happens to me. Like, I'll sit in meditation, and I'll see a clear vision. I'm like, I'm working on creating this next course mm-hmm. or taking this energetic step in my life. And so that clarity of vision, I'm like, I see it. It's so clear. Mm-hmm. I know it's true. There's this knowingness that you learn to develop. And now it's my job in the physical body
to
create it. Mm-hmm. And so the seeing of the future, quote unquote, the future, is really there to ignite that potential in you.
And then you could reverse engineer it too.
That's right.
But it's still exhausting. Like, for us, the thing is that you have to go into meditation again and become really present and do the steps now. And
so
lest we force the field and just kind of, if you force the field, you will be corrected. That's just how it is, because there has to be a unity in all of the actions. But yeah, it's really interesting. That's the lesson that I've been working on lately. And, also the thing is that if you're doing, let's say, the beta test of whatever it is, so you do this version of, for example, a class, or you do this event, but you see the future, you see the potential, and you know your intention is so big, and you know that of course it should unfold because it's in service to so many people. But the first version of it is like a quarter of what you thought it was going to be. But we judge ourselves, right? Because we didn't actually live up to the manifestation that we can so clearly feel. What are you smiling at?
It's very, I smile. What's?
Oh, you were smiling like you had something sarcastic to say.
No.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I do, and I agree with you. And so, if you're an energy worker or meditator, you know, listening to this show, you're probably into spirituality. Then you're probably going, I want to close my eyes and see my future, and then manifest it into form. Mm-hmm. And you can absolutely. You can sit down, close your eyes. And one of the first questions people always ask is like, well, how do I tell if the image I'm seeing is like true?
Oh, yeah.
Or if it's just like, I'm creating it because that's what I want to happen.
Mm-hmm. Is it real or is it my imagination? Yeah. That's the kind of question.
It's your imagination. It's never going to work out. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, but to me also, the thing is, I find it really interesting that somehow the word imagination is pejorative and that it's somehow meant to be counterindicate, or you know what I mean, like it's contrary to clairvoyance. But the thing is, it happens all in the imaginal space.
Yeah, I think imagination is actually the bridge to clairvoyance.
I think fantasy, where you're actually projecting something that's already been created and you're not really cooperating with energy, then that's different. And there is a distinction there.
Oh, yeah.
But to deny the imagination, exactly, if you allow yourself to relax into your imagination, then it's a good bridge.
I mean, Einstein imagined surfing next to a wave of light, and now we have modern society. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, some images are really valuable.
Yeah.
And so what I tell my students is it's the ability of knowingness of when you see an image and you get a sense, you start to learn how to know the difference between real energy and just imagination. Mm-hmm. Or let's just call it fantasy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Uh-huh.
And so that is, it's like sharpening a knife, that ability. Through meditating over and over and learning who you are, you start to be able to tell the difference. Just like, you know, you could tell the difference when you see people. Like I could tell Trish is Trish and Kurt is Kurt. Like it's super clear. It's just our third eye is in so much atrophy. We're not used to using it. Mm-hmm. We can't tell the difference between the images that we're seeing, but we can learn how to tell those differences. And when we get better and better at it, that's when we can see that image of, oh yeah, this is the one I'm really creating. This is the one that's true. And we can learn how to see when people put images kind of in front of us and say, you're not good enough. Mm. You're never going to get there. Who do you think you are? You're stupid, whatever it is. We see those images, and instead of believing them, which is what we normally do, oh yeah, I'm not good enough, right? People live inside of other people's judgments and those stories. When we learn how to see what's really true, we could start seeing through those false images and let them go. Because a lot of what's holding most people back is that they're believing all of these false images inside of their mind's eye, and those looping thoughts that come around again and again. Mm-hmm. And you just see that invalidating loop of thought that you learned from your parents or friends or whoever. And once we start to be able to see through that, like, you can really create something amazing.
So how do people start to do that today? Obviously, take David's course.
My 9-part series called I'll Give You Everything You Want in 10 Minutes.
The what is it? The something of energetics and manifestation?
Oh, yeah. No, I do. I do have a course called The Energetics of Success and Manifestation.
Success and Manifestation on Insight Timer. So David's on Insight Timer. He's a really successful teacher on Insight Timer. And if you don't know what Insight Timer is, that's actually a really, because some people don't. It's an app, and you can put it on your phone, and there are, I don't know how many hundreds of thousands probably meditations.
Meditations.
Like different meditation teachers and meditations, guided meditations.
Tens of thousands
of
meditations. There's like 8 million, I think, users. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big one.
Yeah, it's a big one. And so David has a new course on there.
I do.
Yeah. So go find it there. But I like it, The Energetics of Success and Manifestation. So how can people then, well, obviously they can do something like take a program, you know, connect with a teacher who has already done that, some of that, well, obviously the work never ends, but the work that you are seeking to experience yourself. I say teachers don't really teach you anything. They hold space for you to remember what you already know by immersing you in the knowingness of it and having been down that path a little bit.
And I always like to say something I heard one of my teachers say, which is, if you want a perfect teacher, choose a dead one. I'm alive, sorry.
So what could they do? Like, what is something that someone could do right now?
So this is where I start a lot of my students. When you close your eyes, you start to get back into your body if you're floating around off into the future, which we normally are, or in the past. So step one is you always just kind of bring yourself back, whether that's through your breath or body awareness or just the space and stillness inside yourself. You've got to anchor yourself into the moment, right? That is 90% of meditation, is just getting back here. And I call it incarnating. Like we wake up in the morning and it's like we have to incarnate all day long. We're trying to get here. And
then
we have
absolutely.
To, and then we, again, we go and then we come back. It's not just once. It's not when you're born, you incarnate.
Right.
I think every single day we're trying to incarnate more and more. And you know, the people that make us feel the most comfortable and warm is like the ones that are so present in their bodies, right? There's not all these pockets of pain that unconsciously make you feel uncomfortable, or this like cloud of poverty over their head, or programming or dogma, or like some religious zeal behind their eyes that they want to quietly and slowly pull you into and shave your head, right? It's the people that have like worked their shit out and they're like behind their eyes, they're present and they're ready to live this life and be here. And so that's the majority of work, is getting into that place. And then the fun spiritual part starts when you start reconciling all of that, being able to see all the things that you want to create, play in other dimensions, all of that jazz, but on a very kind of fundamental level. So you get into your body, you anchor yourself as much as you can into this moment, and then just pay attention to what comes up. So if you're Mr. or Mrs. Resistance, that's a great place to start. So day's not working out the way I thought it would. I don't have enough money. There's not enough time. That person judged me. So take one of those thoughts, pull it out right in front of you on the screen of your mind, and just freeze it. Just freeze it and look at it. Okay, so let's take one. Let's take one thought.
I don't have enough money.
I don't have enough money. Uh-huh. That's what I was going to choose. What do you know, Kurt?
Psychic.
Psychic show.
Psychic. Shh. That's what I was going to say. I knew you were going to say that.
Stop being such a dork.
All right. Oh, I knew.
Bye. Goodbye. David's exactly off. David's going to leave the show now.
What was going to... Okay. I knew she was going to date me. Damn it. Yeah, I mean, oh, there it is.
Oh. He put
actually,
a little ball.
All right, side note, we don't want to lose this train of thought. This is very, very important. But Kurt took a picture of another David Gandelman on Google with a yarmulke. Very nice looking boy.
And he
put it over my physical face, like in the live feed before we started, so that when the show started, it was just going to be that guy over my...
So you have to watch the show, too. If you're listening, you have to watch it on YouTube, too. YouTube.com/TrishaCarr.
Actually
subscribe, like, started, share, comment, and laugh at David.
I think we were at each other's bar mitzvahs. Anyway.
You and that, David.
Back to manifesting success and whatever else you're trying to do on this planet.
I don't have enough money was the thought that you wanted to freeze on the screen.
Oh. I don't have enough money.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, sorry. I got lost there for a moment. So you pull that image up onto the screen of your mind and you just look at it for a moment. What does that image look like? Where did you get that image? Take, for example, you have a memory of, so I have that. Like my parents were immigrants. They came to America with no money at all. Right, nothing, and I remember times when there was nothing, and that was like embedded in my consciousness. So maybe a memory arises of like first time your dad said, "No, we don't have enough money to do that," and you could feel that poverty in your chest or in your stomach, and that's what arises for you. Oh, okay. Well, let me look at that image. What's the emotional tone on that image? What's the energy on it? Oh, that's my dad's pain. Mm-hmm. I absorbed it. Whoa. My feeling of there's not enough money actually comes from my dad's pain that I absorbed because I was too young to realize it. Yeah. I took his belief, I took his programming, I took that energy and I put it into myself. And I've been seeing the world through that prism for all this time. And I thought I was spiritual and positive, and I was not willing to admit that was true.
And you actually adopted it because it was
like
your dad
puppy.
who was your caretaker. And so you adopted it for a good reason. There's actually a good intention behind it, which is, Dad is the one who keeps me alive, so I need to align with his beliefs so that I can stay alive. So there's actually a good intention behind adopting the beliefs of our parents.
Absolutely. So that's Tony Robbins works a lot with like people's parents. I've seen him. There's this movie on Netflix called "I'm Not Your Guru," where like the opening scenes, I think he's like, "Who loved you less, your mom or your dad?" Like, oh shit!
Oh,
right
no.
after that guy. I mean, and this is just one example, right? Yeah. But you pull that image up, and as you start to see through it, and it's the energy of its origin, it starts to lose its power. It has like a charge.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It has its own gravity.
Mm-hmm.
A planet has a lot of gravity. An image could also have a lot of gravity. Mm-hmm. So much so that it's attracting poverty to you. And you don't even realize it.
And it's gaining mass.
It's gaining fucking mass.
And getting more, more gravity.
You get a partner who believes the same thing.
Of course you would. Yeah. Why wouldn't you?
You get a job that reinforces that it's true.
Yes.
Maybe a minimum wage job.
Yeah.
You can never get by. There's not enough time in the day. Rich people have money because of inequality in politics. So I'll spend my time watching the news and getting angrier and angrier and blaming other people for not having enough.
Mm-hmm.
And you know where that'll get you? Nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
It'll get you nowhere, right? Because now you're a victim.
Yeah.
And so we have...
You cannot be a victim and a master at the same time.
Absolutely right. And so as you start to see through that image, it starts to lose its power and its hypnotizing energy over you. Now, the trick is a lot of these images are unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
But when we meditate, whatever we're going through will arise. You don't have to like try to pull something up.
Yeah.
Like shit will come up.
I have a friend who was meditating for a while and he was like, I had to stop because I was getting too angry.
Yeah.
Because of the stuff that was coming up. I'm like, yeah, but you know that's there anyway.
That's the pain.
You're just
you
not cleaning out
through.
The closet. The closet's still there though. The anger is still there. You're just becoming aware of it. It's not like it's not becoming it's not you're not creating it by noticing it. It already exists within you. So the second that you place awareness on it, it gets better. But he just like, I shut the door. And
yes.
I'm like, okay, well, it's going to stink more.
Some people do that,
yeah.
right? Absolutely.
And so get through that.
And so say this image almost like dissolves or it gets put back into your unconscious, but it's healed. You give yourself some compassion. All right, I was young. I was unconscious. I just absorbed it from my dad. It's just what happened. And then you bring in some self-compassion, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, it's fine. It happened. I learned a lot from it. What an experience. You integrate that rather than it being this unconscious belief. Now it's integrated.
Yeah.
I had this amazing experience. Parents had no money, right? Like it's a life experience that made me stronger because growing up, I was like, oh, you got to work hard to make shit happen in this world.
And now you have an
American entrepreneur.
Very successful brother.
My David, your brother, he's so successful. When are you gonna? Like, I love my grandfather. He's like, your brother's so successful. I'm like, okay. Yeah.
No, one of my favorite stories you have from one of your old Jersey friends is the guy who said, hey, David, when are you going to get a real job?
Yeah, he's like, when are you going to get a real fucking job? And I was like, what does that mean? He's like, you know, one you go to every day and you fucking hate like the rest of us.
That's a real job.
That's a real job, man. I was like, hopefully never. Hopefully never. And so it takes a willingness to look at yourself. Now, when you start to clean out these images and this energy, it becomes easier and easier to see what's true, the images that are real and true, because now your mind isn't warped by pain.
Yes.
And warped by all this past expectation, judgment, heaviness, right? So we start releasing those images, and then all of a sudden other ones pop in, and we could feel they have a different energetic quality. They come from a higher place, a higher dimension, a deeper wisdom, however you want to see it. It doesn't matter. But in some way or another, there's this energy to them that has like an inspiration to it, right? And you're like, oh, now I see my true information, my true energy, which is me in abundance, or it's me giving to charity, or it's me helping other people get wealthy. Whatever the image, if it's around money, whatever it is, me in balance, me having enough. And then that image starts to get more clear versus the negative charged one. And then now that you have a clear image, now you can create towards it.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can bring it into form or quote unquote manifest it.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody wants to just have a positive thought and then just manifest their dreams, right? That's the same runaround. That's you're trying to get around everything. That's like going
spiritual
to the psychic.
Bypassing.
Yeah, and they say, you're going to get this thing and now you get it. That's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
there's work to be done. Now, who knows? Maybe you were born on step 9 out of 10 and you just think of something and shit falls from the sky. You know, God bless you. Good. For me, it's born on third base, and you think you hit a homer.
That's what they say. Yeah.
I love that. For me, it's always been a lot of work. And so this is a process. It takes years of work and meditating, one image at a time, one memory at a time, one energy at a time. But then once you start really clearing that space out, you can see more clearly. And then if you want, like the work that we do, you can look at other people and start to see them more clearly.
But you have to be able to see yourself first. Yeah. You have to have that responsibility first, ability to respond.
Yeah.
Yes, I actually did a video recently. I don't think I put it on my YouTube channel, but I will. That was about like the stages to developing your psychic abilities. And that first stage is like having to do with that process that you're talking about, like clearing out the static and also boundaries. You know what I mean? Like, because, but sometimes people, again, in the people that are in the getting interested in this stuff, they want to go right to channeling. And it's like, well, you really shouldn't be identifying with another energy if you don't know how to identify with your own energy. Honestly.
Yeah, that's right. And so to take this a little bit further, like somebody goes, all right, I want to manifest money, right? And all of a sudden they're like, all right, I'm seeing positive images now. I've started to clear out some of these negative ones and some of the positive ones are coming in. Now what do I do? Now what do? It's a great question. Now you actually have to get practical.
Right.
You actually have to do the thing.
Yeah.
You have to take action.
You have to take action physically in the physical world.
Physical action.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes that takes healing. Sometimes it takes communication. Sometimes it takes ingenuity. A lot of people, if they're like starting businesses, they'll have a hard time with the technology part or the financial part. And they're like, I just can't do it. And they back off. And then it takes a whole nother level of commitment and work to start to manifest it physically. Because we're in physical bodies. We're living physical lives. That means we're going to have to create things in the physical world. And a lot of spiritual people are in so much resistance to money because they see it as evil, or it lights up all that invalidation inside of them because they're much more interested in the spiritual realms. And now I got to do all this maneuvering in the physical world to get what I need. I hate this. This feeling is icky.
Bashar says that the language of manifestation is physical action. And you think about it, it's like if we get an intuitive hit, you're not going to get more.
It's wrong, Bashar.
You're not going to get more information until you actually demonstrate to yourself that you got that other message. So, you know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
One of my guides, an earth guide, told me one time that how could you dare ask for something more when there are limes on the ground? And literally talking about a lime tree that I had that was just spilling fruit all over the ground. And it was kind of like metaphoric and actual because it was an earth guide. And he's like, stop letting limes rot. That's rude. Make use of them.
How long they waited to ripen. So let's predict.
That's beautiful. I love that.
Let's predict your future. If you're listening to this, how do you feel right now?
Mm-hmm.
That's your future.
That's it. Yes, exactly.
That's your future.
Yeah.
So you have to shift how you feel. You have to shift the energy you're in, or that is your future.
Mm-hmm.
You create out of what you are. And we have to find out who we are so we create what it is that we're here for. And if we don't, then we're going to live a life that's potential went unfulfilled. And a lot of people do. And it's sad to see. And my life purpose as in the last number of years has really felt like I truly enjoy helping people find that purpose, find their passion, find their answers, and then watch them develop it. I just love that work.
Well, you're amazing at it. And we are almost out of time.
Okay.
We're almost out of time. So let's tell folks how they can get in touch with you. Of course, we talked about the Insight Timer course, the energetics of success and manifestation. I got it. I said it. And also Energy Matters Podcast. DavidGandelman.com, Grounded Sleep Podcast.
There's so much. Well, the one thing.
Grounded Sleep Podcast. You also have a subscription coming up.
Yeah, the one thing I do want to mention is I'm going to be teaching live classes starting very soon, and some entrepreneurship classes and some meditation spiritual classes. So I'm very excited about that. I've been working with a team to build it out, and my internet nerd self has been all over it, like putting it together.
And that's, they can find it on DavidGandelman.com.
You will be able to very soon.
Yeah, so very soon you should go check it out, because then you could weekly get some David
Live? Maybe every other week.
Oh, okay. There we go. Well, this has been really awesome. And we have like 1 minute left. So a prediction that you experienced. Did you say to me that you experienced some kind of prediction of a natural event?
Oh, well, was it last month, I guess, yeah, or the month before? I had a very clear dream. I was with my buddy Gavin and there was an earthquake. And so I texted him when I woke up. Hey, man, I even texted his dad, who's a friend of mine. I was like, yo, I had this wild dream that blah, blah, blah. And how, you know, we're together and there's an earthquake. And then it happened.
Yeah, happened later on that day. Yeah.
Yeah, he called me and was like, yo, the same day? Over? Or, yeah. So there was two earthquakes.
Yeah.
So one happened. Yeah, it was like a blend of the two experiences.
Okay,
yeah.
Now we're really out of time. So I just wanted you to get one of the predictions.
Better prediction for the future. Things are going to work out really great.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming in studio, David Gandelman. And
thanks,
I do hope that
me.
You guys will check out all of David's work, as well as the Mediumship Intensive that you can find in the show notes here. Thanks for tuning in. I love you, whoever you are.